The Czech capital Prague has just become the first city in the former Eastern Bloc to receive a coveted Michelin star. The world-renowned guide to fine dining singled out the city's Allegro restaurant, located inside the Four Seasons Hotel, for dishes such as yellowfin tuna caramelized with ginger on panzanella tartar with sesame seeds, red onion and orange and sour tomato sorbet. It's a far cry from goulash and dumplings. But as Rob Cameron finds out in Talking Point, the standard of Czech cuisine is very much on the up.
It's a quarter to 12 inside the kitchen of Prague's Allegro restaurant, and Italian master chef Andrea Accordi is checking everything's in order before the lunchtime rush. The soft-spoken 31-year-old chef from Verona has only been here for 8 months, and his delicate brand of Italian cuisine has already won the Allegro a coveted Michelin star. It's actually his second. The first came at the Villa La Vadetta in Florence, but this is the first Michelin star to grace the much-maligned menus of Prague, and indeed any city in former communist Central and Eastern Europe. Andrea says people's expectations of food across Europe, East and West, are changing.
People are traveling, then when they come back, they're expecting the same food, the same quality of food, the same quality of high standard they see around the world. So, and I wish all the guests would go to Italy, so they really know what it means eating, you know. Have a seat, enjoy, don't bother yourself to any other thing. Just focus on the food, appreciate flavor, everything. That's very important. If I go in a special restaurant, I don't go because I'm hungry. I just go because I really want to eat the cuisine of the chef, what the chef is making.
It's fair to say that until recently, few Czechs were devotees of fine cuisine. Traditional Czech food is hearty and filling, peasant food meant to sustain hungry labourers as they toiled the frozen fields. That explains the plethora of pork and dumplings and potatoes and more pork. Czech menus are full of dishes with no-nonsense carnivorous names, executioner's swipe, giblet soup, and the gruesome-sounding bloody head cheese. But all that is changing, and fast. Prague is full of international restaurants. Fresh ingredients from every corner of the globe now cram the supermarket shelves. And a generation of Czech chefs are rediscovering the delicate cuisine of their predecessors, giving the likes of Andrea Accordi and Allegro a real run for their money.
The most important for us is to give the best service of Czech cuisine, perfect service, perfect food.
Across town, another Andrea, this time a female one, Andrea Petrikova, is explaining the philosophy behind her restaurant, the Černý Koholt, or Black Rooster, which she runs with her husband, Wojciech.
To have a good atmosphere, nice dinner, because my husband is very interesting about the food, about the cooking.
But you like Czech food?
Yeah, look at me.
To get the expert's opinion on the Black Rooster's cuisine, I invited Evan Rail, Prague-based restaurant critic for the New York Times, among others, to dinner.
You have what I think is called technically a timbal. It's a small tower shaped like a cylinder, topped with some really beautiful-looking cuts of lamb. Oh, wow, and dressed, you've got a salad on the side that's fresh spring vegetables dressed in a light kind of cream sauce or a hollandaise.
I'm glad you remembered all that, because I certainly didn't. What did you order?
I ordered the quail, and actually I don't see the quail, because on my plate instead I have a large bun. It looks like a big roll topped with black sesame seeds, white sesame seeds. It's perfectly caramelized, lovely golden brown, and I believe the quail is inside it.
We shall find out if the quail is inside it and what the lamb is like. It certainly smells absolutely fantastic.
Beautiful. Look at this.
Oh, it
so
is.
Inside this lovely, I guess you'd have to call it a brioche rather than a bun.
Yeah, see the steam pouring out of the brioche.
Inside this brioche is a lovely cut of quail meat, which is known for being very fragrant. Mm. And it's got also a nice piece of foie gras, so it's sending the juices from the foie gras through the quail inside this crisp brioche bread with a nice piece of radicchio on the side and some more spring carrots. Really not bad for what you would call a Central European meat and potatoes food.
Mmm. This is really not how I imagine Czech food could ever be at all, to be honest.
No. Well, it's not how Czech food often is, but it is how Czech food often is at home. I found that Czech food is very good in Czech houses. And you rarely find that in restaurants, and you rarely find that, especially in pubs.
Why is that?
Well, I believe that the food was dumbed down, standardized, and brought down to a lower level. You know, all of the pubs, all of the restaurants under communism were classified by number. And they served standardized recipes with standardized ingredients. And I think that part of what we're recovering from is this sort of standardization of the way things taste. And now instead we have, you know, the dish I'm looking at on my plate. It wouldn't be out of place in any restaurant in any capital city in Europe. And I mean Paris, I mean London. It's beautiful. But we're in a Czech restaurant, and this is Czech food.
So you think Czech food is now beginning to sort of break free from the shackles of the past?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, there are these wonderful cookbooks. There's a wonderful cookbook from about the same time as Brillat Savarin wrote his great Physiology, what was it, Physiologie du Gourmet, or I can't remember the title now. But about the same time that Brillat Savarin in France was writing his cookbook, there was a Czech lady who was writing a cookbook here, a woman named Magdalena Dobromila Retegová. And she wrote a cookbook in 1826, I believe, explaining about Czech food and how to cook wonderful food. And it included a lot of ingredients that disappeared later. Some of the ingredients are a little weird. She would say, gather 20 thrushes or other small songbirds. And sometimes she assumes that people know how to cook. She'll say something like, get half a bull, cook it in the usual way.
Exactly where do you cook half a bull?
Exactly, or what is the usual way? I don't know, boiling? Do you steam it? Is it poached, perhaps?
Right, so it sounds like you're quite optimistic then for the future.
Well, I'm optimistic for the future in the sense that I think by returning to the past, Czech cuisine is going to find its way forward. It's not like we're trying to invent something new here. It's not like Czech restaurants are trying to discover the wheel. It is rather that they're just going to have to go back and find the great things that they knew 60 or 70 or 100 years ago. And a lot of the restaurants are doing that, and the food is incredibly good.
Like the food in front of us. Well, I think we should enjoy it and stop talking.
Yeah, this is delicious. I'm sorry, I have to go back to eating.
No, co tomu říkáš? Podle mě je to takové... Mám velice rád.
A TV chef on a Budapest-based cooking channel called Paprika explains an intricate recipe to the viewers in Hungary, Slovakia and the Czech Republic. It's a popular station in these parts and a sign, as Evan says, that the region is slowly recovering from four decades of drab communist uniformity. This is really not about Michelin stars. This is about a whole region rediscovering the lost pleasure of food.
Mouth-watering stuff, and to think that I had a supermarket-bought tuna fish white bread concoction for lunch. Talking Point brings us to the end of the program. I'm off to raid the fridge. Bye-bye.